sort of reminds me of an old saying in the mountains. I like it when the cup runs over and the saucer gets a little. That blessed my heart and my feet too. That's what I'm saying. Hey, it's good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you're here. Good to see you on a Monday night, and I appreciate you coming. My, what a crowd. What a wonderful crowd. Thank you for coming. Now, I hope that you can come both nights, but if you can only come one night, I want you to come tomorrow night, and I want you to make sure that if you only come one time, that tomorrow night is the night you come. But anyway, good to see you. It's good to see the preachers that are here, and appreciate everybody being here tonight. I love church. I love church reports. I love getting the reports from all of the different ministries. Yesterday, got a good bus report, about 750 riders on buses, 101 visitors, 33 saved, 8 baptized, 2 buses broken down, and 1 bus captain still missing. But other than that, I like it. We'll find him. We'll find him. He'll come home. He always does. And we'll find him. It's always a joy to be with my good friend, Brother C. I travel every week, but I just get excited and anxious to come here and to get to spend time with him. And I appreciate that so much. You talk about busy, and I know you're busy. I know you are, and you chose to come here tonight. One of the funniest things happened to me the other day about being busy. You preachers will understand this. We're in the middle of a building program, and we have purchased 80 acres, and we're developing 35 acres of that 80, and we're having to do the site work, and there's a lot that goes into that, and then the building of the buildings, and I am doing the general contracting work. I wasn't going crazy fast enough, and so I added that to my responsibility. And so last week I was in my office, and this is the truth. I was working with a contractor that was giving me just a bit of a hassle. I was getting ready to hit him is what I'm saying. And I was finishing. I needed to finish a financial report because the banker was coming. And I was running a tad behind. I had 2 or 3 appointments, and they were starting to show up, and I hadn't had the first appointment yet. They're running behind, and I just feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And I got a text message from my wife, and her and my son, they were doing the recording for one of our tour groups, and we have a recording studio that we built in our house, and so we were recording there. And so I got a text message from my wife that said, "The dog won't stop barking. Can you help me?" I had a contractor, a banker, 3 appointments, and I'm working on a $12 million project. She wants to know what to do with the dog. I text back and I said, "Gas it." I know what busy is. She didn't do it. She didn't do it. And, anyway, Matthew chapter 14. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. You know what I love about the Word of God? I love it because a brand new Christian can understand the Bible. You may not understand everything about the Bible, but it is so simple in its presentation. And yet the Word of God is so profound and deep that when you think you found the depth of a truth, it simply unlocks yet another wonderful truth, and not only a wonderful truth, another level of relationship with the Lord Jesus. I love the Word of God, and I like Bible conference. I like that. I love the Word of God, and I love to read it. I love to study it. I love to preach it, and thank you for coming tonight. Matthew 14, I'll ask you to stand with me as we read several verses tonight. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for those that are caring for the nursery and parking car and all the work that's been done. This didn't just happen tonight. You've done a lot of work, and I've pastored long enough to know that a lot of folks have worked to make such a good crowd here this evening. Matthew 14, verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. I'd like to preach tonight for a few minutes on the subject. God wants you to do the impossible too. God wants you to do the impossible too. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in church tonight. And my, what a joy it is to serve you. And I thank you for the word of God that you've given to us, Lord, and how wonderful and rich it is. And as I come to the preaching of your word, I pause to pray, and not because I'm required to do so or because it is a habit, but Lord, I hunger for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I desire, Lord, that you would fill me, and Lord, that you would fill each listener and help us to hunger to hear what the word of God says to us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The story is simple in presentation. It needs no explanation as far as us knowing what happened. The disciples are on a boat. They're in the midst of the sea, and a storm is there, and it's tossing the ship, throwing it up, and the wind is boisterous. And then in the fourth watch of the night, right in the middle of the night, Jesus comes walking on that water. The disciples see this individual, and they say it's a spirit, and in fear they cried out. And then Peter said, Lord, Jesus spoke to them, and he said, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter said, If it be thou, Lord, bid me come unto thee. And Jesus simply said, Come. Peter stepped out of the boat. He started walking on the water to Jesus. He saw the wind. He saw the boisterous water, and he began to go under. He said, Lord, help. And the Lord reached down, and he pulled Peter up. They got into the boat, and when they did, the storm stopped. Now, that's a simple, simple understanding of what this verse says. But I'd like to go through this story this evening, and I'd like to give some observations that may help us not just to understand the story, but understand how the story might apply to our lives. Can I tell you, the Bible is not given for us just to know as facts to store in our mind, but these were given for our example. They were given for our learning. So there's something in this story that you and I, no matter who you are, whether you're a pastor or you attend a junior boys' Sunday school class, or you're a teenager, or you're a grandparent, doesn't matter. There's something in this story that would apply to your life. One of the things that makes the Bible come alive and helps you to understand the scripture is to live it, or to live in it, or to say, Lord, help me to see what the Word of God has for me. So I'm going to give you several observations tonight, and then conclude with one that we'll go home with tonight. First of all, I want to point out, these are good men. They're in the will of God, and they're in a storm. Difficult things happen to good people. I don't know where we ever got the idea that says if you're a Christian and in the will of God, you won't ever have any problems. You didn't get that idea from the Bible. Because everybody faces difficulty. Everybody has storms in life. In our church, there are some 300 prayer requests right now. I imagine our prayer list is very similar to Frederick Baptist Church and the churches that are represented here tonight. We have ministry needs. We pray for our law enforcement and our soldiers and our servicemen. We have folks that need to be saved. Some have been on the prayer list for a few weeks. Some have been on the prayer list list for many years. We have folks in our church that have cancer. We have folks in our church where someone has died and they're grieving. We have folks that have a physical need and financial need. And the truth is, as we look at this story, we understand that good men, even in the will of God, often find themselves in the midst of the storm. The second thing I want to point out tonight, Jesus cares about you. Jesus cares about us. The Bible tells us that he came to them and he always makes himself available to those that are doing his will. Jesus came to where they were. He is always available to us. Aren't you glad that we have a God that loves us? I'm glad that our God is more than a rock. I'm glad that he's more than a carved piece of wood. I'm glad that he's more than an imagination. I have a priest that is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. That's pretty small. But God is touched with that. The Bible tells us that a sparrow can't fall without his notice. And if he cares about the sparrow, he cares about us. Now, let's just go ahead and put to rest the lie of the devil that says God doesn't love you. God loves us tonight. And the devil attempts in every way to get you to think, well, God didn't care about you. He's forgotten about you. God doesn't love you. He already gave his son that we could have eternal life. He's already proved that. But again, here in this storm, we find that Jesus comes to the disciples. I want you to notice the third thing. Peter asked an amazing question. I could say a stupid question. I could say a dumb question. Had I been on that boat and I saw Jesus, I'd have said, Jesus, hurry up and get over here. We need some help. Peter says, Lord, let me come out there where you are. I mean, I'm already afraid in the boat in the storm. He wants to step out of the boat and into the water. And he says to Jesus, now the truth is I like this. I like it. I like to accomplish things for God that only God can explain. I like to see things happen that only God can explain. And Peter says to Jesus, bid me come unto thee. The fourth observation I have is Jesus' answer and explanation to his answer, come. Come on, big boy. You want to walk on the water? Come on. Come. That's an interesting thing to me. That's a request beyond human capability. Men can't walk on the water. You and I cannot walk on the water. Man cannot walk on the water. Jesus showed absolutely no reservation or disappointment in the request of Peter when Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee. Jesus showed absolutely no reservation, no disappointment. You and I are able to accomplish the impossible since Jesus came in us to live. Can I tell you something? I'm more than mortal man. I'm a born-again child of God with the Holy Spirit living within me. I need to stop living with limitations of the flesh and start thinking with the mind of Christ as God would want me to think. Now, I want to tell you something. You and I, as a child of God, are filled with the Spirit of God. He wants us to do more than just exist in life. Many folks, here's what they think. Boy, now that I'm saved, I hope Jesus will help me with my marriage. I hope he'll help me in the rearing of my children. I hope he'll help me in my job or in my business. He can do that without any problem. He actually wants to do far more than that. Mortal man, surrendered to the will of God, filled with the Spirit of God, can do far beyond what he imagines when he desires to do the will of God. I'll not take a long time to give many examples, but you think of a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, who started the mission work of the gospel, and still is the pattern today. And the work that he accomplished, he didn't have an Apple phone, he didn't have an iPad, he didn't even have a bicycle, he had nothing except feet and a boat on the water. And what he accomplished, he didn't accomplish that because of his talent and ability. He accomplished that because he was a man filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to understand tonight, if you're a born-again child of God, quit living inside the limitations of the flesh and start looking to Christ and see what is it God wants me to do in His will. We think of all of these men in the scripture that lived beyond their ability. Joseph and Daniel, Elijah and Elisha, Peter himself here, and later Peter preached at Pentecost where 3,000 were saved and baptized. We can talk of men in more recent history than the scripture as we talk about men such as Moody and Finney and Torrey and Mueller and Billy Sunday, and all of these men would give credit not to their talent or their ability, but the fact that they were filled with the Spirit of God, and God led them and helped them and empowered them to accomplish the impossible. My fifth observation of this passage of Scripture is Peter walked on the water. Boy, you can say a lot of bad things about Peter. I know Peter messed up a lot. I know he did. But if I'm picking sides, I'm choosing Peter. He may strike out now and again. He may get in a fight now and again. But I want to tell you something. When Peter's in town, business is going to pick up. I like Peter. You can say what you want, but nobody else can say I walked on the water. Nobody else can say that. Peter walked on the water. Now, here's something interesting to me. It is interesting to me that an act of faith is taken in a time of fear. Make note of that. An act of faith is taken in a time of fear. The Bible says they're in a storm. They're afraid. And then the Bible says they're not only afraid of the storm, they see this person walking to them on the water in the fourth watch of the night, and they cried out. They were so afraid. Have you ever been afraid? But then have you ever been afraid so much that you cried out and you didn't even plan on crying out? It happened to me the other morning about 3:30 in the morning. You know, we're in those nights that sometimes you get up in the 70s in the day and you'll turn the air conditioner on just a little bit. Then you go to bed and you forget that you turn it on air conditioner, but at night it drops down to 30 degrees. You wake up and you think, my goodness, it's snowing in here. And so you get up to go turn the heat back on in the middle of the night. That's exactly what happened to me. I woke up. I was froze to death. I mean, I was just so cold. I thought, oh, I know what happened. I forgot to turn the heat back on. And I could see my breath. I mean, it was cold. I'm walking. I'm staggering through the hallway. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, right before the wall where the thermostat is the top of the staircase. My wife had not been able to sleep. She's had knee surgery and she was up and it was hurting, and she had walked from the bottom of the steps to the top of the steps. She was just standing there. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, I didn't know whether to say something. She said, I heard you coming. Now, I'm hard of hearing. I'm nearly deaf. I don't wear my hearing aids at night. And she said, I didn't know whether to say anything, because every time I say, where are you? I say, don't ever say here, because I don't know if that means in the shed or in the bathroom or the basement. I don't know where. Just say where you are. But anyway, I'm staggering down through there, and I'm trying to find the thermostat. And there she is. Now, That's exactly what happens here. I mean, they see a spirit, and these fishermen, these men that have been on the water before, they see a spirit and they cry out. And in the time of fear, Peter makes a request of faith. And not only does that get my attention, what really gets my attention, God honored it. In a time of fear, he made a request of faith, and God honored that request. In the time of fear, in the storm, Peter made a request of faith, and God said, Peter, come. Let me give you the sixth observation in this passage of Scripture. Peter's attention shifted to the power and force of the wind. Fear was a result of that, and he began to sink into the water. I'll come back to number six, and I'll stop with that. I'll come back in just a minute to number six. I want to say number seven. Peter cries out again. The first time he said in faith, bid me come unto thee. The second time he cried out in fear, Lord help. Here's my observation. The Lord responded both times. Can I tell you something, that God loves us? And there are days that we cry out in faith and fear in the same hour. Are you listening to me? You see, I get so discouraged in myself. I be going along and I'm doing good. I have faith. And then all of a sudden I have fear. And I'm just so ashamed of myself. I feel like quitting. But Jesus never said anything to Peter. He didn't say, hey, if you just can't live in faith, just drown. In a time of fear, he made a request of faith. Jesus said, come. In a time of faith, he made a cry of fear, and Jesus saved him. Now, I want you to know he loves you tonight. I want you to know that God wants to help you in the rearing of your children. He wants to help you in your marriage. He wants to help you in the building of your church. He wants to help you in the ventures of life and in the will of God. And sometimes I cry out in faith and say, oh God, I want to do something for you. Please help me. And he says, come on. And right in the middle of that act of faith, all of a sudden fear grips my soul. I say, oh God, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he says, that's all right. Come on, son, you can do it. I'll help you. Amen. Let me give you the eighth observation. The Lord Jesus then, after he rescued Peter, he spoke disappointment. And he says this, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? After he pulled Peter out of the water, he spoke the only words of disappointment that he spoke, and they were this, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The only time Jesus was disappointed in Peter was when his faith was conquered by his fear. Now, fear had always been present, but now it conquers his faith, and that brings me to the statement of the message tonight. The thing that God wants me to do is to live my life by faith in the promises and principles of the Word of God and not live in response to the bad circumstances of life. Now, I want you to understand, they're standing there when he says, Peter, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I heard your cry. I heard your request both times, but I don't want you to doubt. I want you to live by the promises. I want you to live by the principles that I've given to you. Have faith in me. Now, I want to tell you something. The circumstances of these disciples was terrible. We won't go through the whole chapter, but if you studied the chapter, you'd find three major events that would discourage Joel Osteen. First of all, the first terrible event that takes place in Matthew chapter 14, their beloved John the Baptist has been not just martyred, he has been beheaded. His head has been taken from his body, placed in the charger, and given to a wicked woman, and the disciples come and they pick up the headless corpse of John. It's one thing for him to die. It's a very traumatic thing that they find the one that they love, and it's only the body. I'm talking about the forerunner of Christ. I'm talking about the one that Jesus said. They didn't just say it in revival fires of the sword of the Lord. Jesus said he was the greatest. And they picked that body up, and they had a funeral. They didn't have time to grieve. They went back to work. You'll find it in the chapter. And you'll find it in the parallel books as well, and the parallel gospels as well. They went right back to work, and they came and reported to Jesus what they'd been doing. Jesus was moved with their work and the burden that they were carrying so much that he said, fellas, you need to come apart, and you need to rest for a while. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you've not had the leisure to enjoy a meal. You've buried John. You have been busy in the work from village to village. I want you to come apart. I want you to go rest a while. That was when they got on the boat. And if you read the parallel gospel, you'll find before they left on the boat, a multitude of people showed up and Jesus taught the multitude from morning to evening. They're worn out. They then get on a boat and they get into the middle of the sea and a storm comes. There could be no worse circumstances, but Jesus did not want them to focus on their circumstances. He wanted them to focus on faith in His promises. Now, how does it apply to us? Well, you and I are the children of God, and He does care about us, and that means something. He cares about you as much as He did His disciples. Can I tell you, He cares about you. He is interested in you and me. He loves us. We are His workers on earth in this generation. We're His servants. We're His disciples in this generation for today. You are important to God. He cares about you. Second of all, you're going to find yourself in many storms and many bad circumstances. But I want to tell you tonight, God desires us to do more than mere flesh can accomplish, and not in times that are going to be good, but in circumstances that are going to be difficult. He still wants us to move forward by faith. And as they did in a time of fear, He wants us to make a request of faith. Can I tell you, throughout the Word of God, He looks for people that'll do something extraordinary for Him. He wants Frederick Baptist Church to rise above and do something extraordinary for Him. You say, you're just saying that because you're here. I say that in every church I go to, because I believe that in every church, God wants them to rise above the ordinary, rise above the average, and do something that folks would say, I know those people over there, they couldn't do that. God's blessing that church. Let me give you some examples. The Bible says in John 14, 12. Just go over there and look at it. John 14 and verse number 12. Notice what Jesus says here in John 14, verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, in greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, what happens when he goes to his Father? The Holy Spirit comes. What does he come for? Is he homeless and he doesn't have a place to live, so he just lives in our bodies until we go to heaven? Is that why he comes? No, he comes to empower us. What does he empower us to do? He empowers us to accomplish beyond what we're able to do in the will of God, to rise above the average, to rise above the ordinary. And Jesus said, greater works than these, then they shall you do. I love this verse, and I'll read a few to you. Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. One more. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Regardless of our circumstances tonight, God wants us to live by faith in the principles and promises of his word. And he wants us to do more than average. He doesn't want our churches just to exist. He wants our churches to thrive for his honor and his glory. Now, here's where we stand tonight. We stand somewhere between the edge of the boat and on the water. Our eyes are on Christ. And the wind is hitting us in the face. I'm not too sure that Peter wasn't walking to Christ when a wave and when wind took water and smacked Peter in the face. And he turned and he saw that storm. And rather than having a heart of faith toward Christ, his heart was overwhelmed with fear in the storm, and he began to go under. And that's where you and I live all the time, working to keep our eyes on Jesus while the storms around us are so very loud. I want to tell you tonight, you will have to decide to keep your eyes on Christ. You will have to decide. Now, tonight, I could talk to you about political circumstances that would discourage anybody. I believe tonight, if you put this Congress in charge of the Sahara Desert, they'd be out of sand in 6 months. Somebody asked why oil prices kept going up and down and up and down. And one answered and said, I think it's because all the oil reserves are out west and the dipsticks are in D.C. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know. But I don't need to talk to you about political circumstances. Fox News does a good job at that 24/7. We could talk about physical circumstances. We could talk about past failures and weaknesses and opposition. The news media is on a 24/7 cycle, and the bad news of difficult circumstances are being broadcast on every hand, and the noise of difficult circumstances is loud. It's attention getting, but tonight if we're going to do something for God, we must decide to put and keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. Not one time did Peter say, that storm is fake, Peter. Don't worry about that storm. The storm is not fake. The storm is real. The wind is real. But you have to understand, he's the God that controls the storm. And when they got on the boat, he showed them as the storm ceased and there was a quiet and there was a calm. But he wants us during the storm to have faith in him. Take your Bibles and go to Jeremiah 33:3. This is my father's life verse. You have to understand the circumstances of Jeremiah chapter 33:3 to understand the power of the instruction of verse number 3. Verse number 1, Jeremiah 33, moreover the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison. Shut up in the court of the prison. Verse number 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Right.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Staff man came to my office last Wednesday. Preacher, can I talk to you? I said, sure. He said, preacher, how do you deal with all the things that are going on in our world? He said, sometimes I just get so discouraged. I said, you know what I do? I turn the stupid television off. And I live my life in response to the promises of God, not the circumstances of man. And I can't help you, but I can tell you how to help yourself. And I would say, if you compared the amount of time that you've spent listening to the best of the worst, and you compared that to how much time you spent in the Word of God, it's no wonder you're discouraged. You are living your life by fear in response to the circumstances, and it's no wonder you say, as so many say, preacher, I just feel like I'm going under. You are. What do? Get your eyes off the circumstance and get your eyes on Christ. Start living for a promise. Start living for a principle and understand those circumstances will always be there. He needs somebody that will trust him, not just in the good times, but will trust him in the difficult circumstances. How many of you heard of the Sword of the Lord ministry? You know what Sword of the Lord is. Do you know when John Rice started the Sword of the Lord ministry? You know when he started? 1933. You can't do something for God during a depression. But John Rice refused to respond to the circumstances of the news, and he responded to the promises of the Word of God. Can I tell you something? The economy it does not control God. The ups and downs does not control Him. He is in control of the circumstances. You ever looked at the businesses that were started during times of either recession or depression?
Right.
IBM started in 1896. There were forecasts that America wouldn't last through 1900 because of the growing global economy, and America was going to go down. General Motors started in 1908. I like this one. Toll House Cookies started in 1933. Mrs. Wakefield came up with a recipe for her Toll House chocolate chip crunch cookie. You know what she did? She sold it to Nestle in exchange for a lifetime supply of chocolate chips. You say, that was cheap. I don't know. I got three girls that can eat a lot of chocolate chips. It may have been cheaper just to give her money. 1931, Porsche, Bridgestone, Allstate, Swiss Air. 1932, Advance Auto Parts, Sheraton Hotel and Resorts. 1933, Samsung, Rubbermaid. You know why I use those secular illustrations? Because if men are willing to ignore the forecast of others and decide, I'm going to step out and do something anyway, why in God's name can't God's people with the promises of God and the power of the Holy Spirit say, I don't care what the negative circumstances are. I don't care what the wind is blowing and saying. I am going to accomplish something for God that God would get the credit for. They've always said, well, this is a bad time to build a church. This is a bad place to start a church. I've come to the conclusion the best place to start a church is in a place where they say you can't start one. Now, I give you four statements and I'm finished. Number one, what is your focus this evening? What's your conversation been about in the last 30 days? Your circumstances or the promises of God? Now, you're not going to by emotion or feeling talk about the promises of God. You have to decide to do it. You have to decide to do it. You have to decide because Fox News is not going to say, now I know you got all this trouble. What you need to do is get on your knees, read your Bible, and just have faith in God, not worry about all this we said today. I ask you, number one, what is your focus this evening? Number two, if you focus your eyes on Christ, I wonder what you would desire to do for Him. I wonder if you could see Christ in the storm. I wonder if you could see Jesus in your storm. What would you do? Number three. What have you stopped doing for God because your fear of circumstance has stolen your faith? Peter's in the boat in a storm. There's fear. They cry out. In a time of fear, Peter says, bid me come unto thee, a statement of faith during a time of fear. And then all of a sudden he looks at his circumstance, he stops going under. What is it that you stop doing because fear of circumstance that you need to get your eyes back on Christ and back doing the will of God? And I say last of all, if you have your eyes on Christ, you have to decide to do it. That's why you don't want to miss church on Wednesday night. That's why you don't want to miss church on a Monday and Tuesday night. That's why you fellows at work and you fight through the traffic. I preached in Atlanta last week and a fellow picked me up at the airport and he told me he was 72 years old and he was retired. And I said, what did you do? He said, I sold insurance. I said, where? He said, all over Atlanta. I said, how many years? He said, 35. I said, you've been driving in this Atlanta traffic for 35 years? He said, yes, sir. And I was an alcoholic till 10 years ago. He said, it nearly killed me. I went home and I drank, and I forget what he told me he drank, Brother C would know. I'm just doing a sound check, see if you were still listening. I'm just kidding. And every night, that's what he did. He got it, and that was his life. And he said, I just lived in that rat race. He said, a preacher came. He said, it took him 2 hours, but after 2 hours, he led me to Christ. He said, I haven't had a drink of alcohol since. I thought, I'm glad because I sure thought about it coming through that traffic this evening. I didn't. If you have your eyes on Christ, you have to decide to do it. The only place it's going to tell you put your eyes on Christ when you come to church. when you read your Bible, when you walk with God. I want to tell you, God wants you to do something that is extraordinary. Stand with me, if you will. I'm finished preaching tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And dear Lord, I relate so much to this story as I've stood even on the water in faith, feeling fear coming to capture and captivate my mind. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you answered my prayer when I asked you by faith if I could serve you. But Lord, I also want to thank you that in my times of faith and I cried out in fear, you helped me then too. You're a wonderful God. I pray that tonight you'd help not just this church as a whole, but individuals as a part of this church to say, if we're to accomplish something for Christ, we must keep our eyes on Him. And we must have faith in the midst of fearful circumstances. I pray our lives would be dedicated or rededicated to a life of service for you. May the message tonight find lodging in our heart. And Lord, bring about not only conviction, but Lord, a decision that we would decide, I must keep my eyes on Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.